Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rave Waves Blog Talk Radio, a production of the Rave Waves Book Club. Today, Rave Waves presents Raiders, Not Haters. I'm one of your co-hosts, Ronnie Deshay from Tacoma, Washington, along with my two counterparts, Shirley Harris Slaughter from Oak Park, Michigan.
Hi, Shirley. Hi, Ronnie.
And Joy Nuoso Lobama Joko from Palmdale, California. Hey, Joy.
Hi, Ronnie.
We're here again to share our honest opinions about some honest reviews of books we've read. Yeah, I know, it's a new concept, honesty in reviews, but we're committed to giving you that because, once again, we're raiders, not haters. We will also be opening the phone lines to callers who have questions or comments, but you must have pre-registered your phone number with us in order to participate via phone.
We'd love to hear from you, listeners, with your comments and questions on Twitter by using the hashtag RRBCRaters, not haters. You may follow along on Twitter by typing hashtag RRBCRaters, not haters, into Twitter search box on the top right-hand corner of your Twitter page, and then clicking on the tab that reads Latest.
This segment of Raiders Not Haters is being sponsored by the Phoenix Project by author D.M. Kane. If you'd like to know how you can get your own recorded commercial to air during one of our shows, please visit the Rave Waves tab on the RRBC site or by clicking the link in the show description on your screen now.
Today, each of us will be discussing our reviews, or shall I say our honest opinions, of the books we've read. Joy, how about we start with you? Which book will you be sharing with us today? Please give us the complete title and the author.
Yes. The book is titled Before, Abre, and After by Maureen Toomey. I was going to be as quirky with my review of this book as the story was, but I won't. This story is so serious that I must read my review with some seriousness. Maureen is a very courageous woman who suffered a devastating stroke and lived to tell about it. I believe that her fighting spirit, and of course her family, contributed in helping her to survive and strive. And the proof of her determination overcoming her tragedy. I laughed with her as she tried to make light the tragedy that was looking at all who observed as the end of her life. I even saw some of the typing errors as that part of her that couldn't read or spell correctly. I grabbed my amplifier to try and read some of those very small prints. And in all of this, I was in awe of how much she fought to return to normal. This is a great story of survival. There is a lot to learn from it. Maureen's stroke just did it.
Hello, I'm having trouble hearing.
I am too.
Oh, I'm glad I got you. One of the calls dropped. Joy's call dropped on us. She's going to, okay, she did. She gave us her review, so now I guess I'll respond to it. I haven't read the book, but I do know the valiant stories of folks who have tried to come back from a tragic illness, and to be able to write about it is a feat in itself. Just like our own Catherine Treat did, she really had a battle and she lost it. Let me bring the caller back in just a second.
Okay.
Hello, Joy.
Yes.
Joy.
Did you hear the last part of my review?
You were dropped. Your call had dropped. So I started commenting back on what you had told us, what you had shared
okay.
with us.
Yeah, so, something happened to my phone. It just got up.
Yeah, well, we knew that. So I was trying to pick it back up again. I was glad Ronnie came in and said something because I thought everybody was gone at first.
Okay.
So anyway, as I was saying to Ronnie, you were talking about this woman's battle trying to come back from this illness, this stroke. And I was
yes.
talking about people who those that valiantly come back, they always come back changed, and usually it's for the better. So
yes.
I think I'm going to have to put this book on my to-read list because it sounds like it's very interesting.
It's a great book. It's a great book. I really enjoyed it very much.
I haven't read it yet, but I'm going to have to do that. I had a fairly large stroke myself about 6 years ago and lost my left side. So I know it's not easy to come back from something like that. And the really odd thing was I think I had a mini stroke like 6 months before, but I didn't put two and two together. But I went to bed one night. I woke up the next day. My left side was numb, and I couldn't make my hands properly. I couldn't, I couldn't feel anything on that side. But I didn't know it was a stroke. Finally, I got dropped off at the hospital and said, "Call me when you find out what's wrong." And so I went in, and they said, "Oh yes, you had a stroke."
Oh my goodness.
I had no real reason of that at all, nothing. It's just I woke up, my left side was numb, and it didn't work. And it took about a year for me to get things back. But, yeah, so it's nothing to fool with. And I'm so sorry that this happened to her to the degree that it did.
Oh, yes.
It's really
she lost,
thing.
Speech, she lost everything.
Yeah, I knew someone who was very young who had a stroke. She was in her 20s. She had this debilitating stroke, but she came back from it. But to be so young and to have one was just what was so mind-boggling about that incident.
That's horrible.
Yes, but she came back, and she was a singer. She came back, and she began to sing again.
Good for you.
Yeah. So that was a miracle.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there's not much on Twitter right now because, like I said, we just got started, but most of it was just introducing the show. And Bean saying, "Are you listening to Pound Our RBC Raiders Not Haters? It's on live right now." And then he said, "Pounds are part of live radio." Oh, really?
He's having a good laugh on this dropped call.
Without that being. We can do without that being.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's okay. So there's not much on Twitter. So anybody got any other comments on Joy's take on that book?
No, but we do have kind of an interesting tweet here from Verwayne Greenhoe. He said, "That's how a lot of mini strokes happen. No real warning. It just happens. Thankfully, the brain can reroute itself to a degree." And this is what I find interesting. My youngest stroke victim in my medical career was a 16-year-old girl.
Yes.
You cannot imagine being 16.
Yeah, that's too very young. So it can hit any age, but when it hits young, that means there's something else going on.
I would think so, yeah.
Mm. Okay, Shelley, what book will you be sharing with us today?
All right, the name of my book is Empty Chairs by Suzanne Burke. It was a riveting story. The story starts painfully as the author, Stacy, takes us through the hell she went through starting as far back as she can remember, the age of 3. Lord only knows what happened before then with a crazy mom like Gwen. I felt the pain and anger of what Gwen put her through, the sexual abuse, the beatings, the fight to survive. She was not raised to know anything about socializing with other people, which was mind-boggling to me. It was as if she came from another planet. The story was paced well and kept me reading and anticipating some kind of ending. I can appreciate the author having to stop the writing with promises of more to come later. Her writing style made it easy to get through the story, which I like. I can appreciate the flashbacks she had to endure just to bring us this sad existence she was forced to live. I admire her courage for bringing this sadness to the public with the intent of getting the word out about this horrific existence, which is more prevalent than we would like to think. Yes, I was just angry with her mother. I thought, this is how could a mother do that? And I was so happy when she finally stood up for herself and fought her mother back and then left the home. But she was basically homeless. So her struggle was from the beginning. But at least she was initially out of the nightmare of living with her mother, who was hell on earth to live with. To put yourself through something like that. I can never forgive you. And, you know, there's a special place in hell for people like that. Who abuse children.
Yeah. I read that book too. I read that story, my brother, Shirley, and I was so pissed off when I was reading this story. I couldn't just understand how a mother can do that to her child. But then she was living exactly the same life that she was trying to introduce her child into. So, you can understand why, you know, it was okay for her. At a point, she, you know, her child became, you know, a money-making object for her, because all those old Leary people who visited her were, you know, also looking sideways to her young child and making, you know, demands from her, promises from her, and she was ready to give anything, you know, they requested of her by using this little child. And then she revolted. That was when I really, you know, rooted very strongly for her. That she, even though she ended up, as you said, being homeless, but what could be better than just living in the life that her mother was subjecting her to? I didn't mind her living and roaming as she did. Eventually, she found her way. It was a great story of, you know, suffering. I never thought it was going to happen.
I haven't read this book. I love Susan's work. I do. I love the stuff that I've read. I just have a really hard time with animal abuse, child abuse, and elder abuse. It's really hard for me to read books on those subjects. So I have not read this one.
You say it's hard for you to read this, Ronnie?
Yeah, I know.
I know.
It's so curious. Well, it's a moment. None of my books does anybody step on a puppy.
I find I just don't like gore. I don't like blood. I don't like abuse. But abuse is a little, I don't even know if it's easier to read as much as that. It's just, it gets wrapped into it once you start it, if the writing is good. You know, but sometimes the writing doesn't have to be good. If the book is there and you're reading it, you're just caught up in the story. You know,
right.
Because it's such a horrific thing. And I gave her a 5-star because I like Suzanne Somers' books. I like her work. Some of her other books really got to me.
I think I gave her a 5-star too when I read it.
I
read it a while ago.
That,
you know?
What?
Yes. I said think I gave it a 5-star too, you know, when I read it. I read it a while ago.
Yeah, she doesn't mince words, and I think when she writes, it's coming from inside because of her own experiences that she could come up with some of that gore and stuff. I think it's coming from inside of her.
Yeah.
I think the thing I like most about Sousa's work is she does not write like her mother is standing right behind her reading over her shoulder. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
She cuts
you
loose.
She doesn't or she does?
She
you
goes
she
to some pretty
write?
Nice places, and I love that about her work.
Mm.
Yeah, I didn't get you, Ronnie.
Oh, I just said you can count. She writes. She goes to some pretty dark places, and I love that about her work. She doesn't worry about what's nice or what's pretty. She tells the freaking story.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I like the way you said that. Right to the point. She does tell the freaking story. And she has those right there rooting for her, especially when she stands up for herself. And she was able to do that after she grew up and could, because when she was young, she was too young.
Yeah.
How could she stand up for herself? And that's why I hate these people that do it, because they're the bullies. They're abusing these young children who can't stand for themselves. And that's, to me, is a coward.
Yes. Okay, ladies, how about we check and see what the Peanut Gallery thinks of our reviews so far. We have a couple of comments. Mary Abner says, I loved Empty Chairs, and Stacy. The fact that Suzanne survived is amazing. And from what I've heard, Mary, I'd have to agree with that. I might just actually have to break down and read this. And Bean Week says, I had Suzanne on By the Book a while ago. A truly incredible woman. She is another overcomer. Yeah, that she is. She is.
Yes, she is.
And
that's definitely true.
Verwayne Greenhost says, amen. Between my 12 years as a paramedic and then 20-some as an ERRN, I saw so many abuse cases. I often wanted to scream, cry, and strike back for those abused.
Yeah. These things are so prevalent.
And he was a paramedic, so he got to see a lot of cases. Okay, ladies, let's move on. We're excited to hear about the book you brought along today. So, share, what's the title and who's it by?
This month, I'm reviewing Open Shut by Nani Jules. The loss of Darcy's older sister, Lola, changes her life in ways that she could not have predicted. Reading Lola's diary gives Darcy insight into her sister's life, her secret illness, and previously unknown facts about her death. For the most part, I did like the story. I especially liked the part where Darcy sat down to read Lola's diary. I would have liked a little more drama with the open drawer/drawers, but that's just me. All in all, it was a great short story. I kind of got the impression from it, from the little blip that I read on Amazon, that it was kind of a little paranormalish. And I saw that in there, but I would have liked it, I think, not that I'm a huge fan of paranormal, but I think I would have liked it if this story had explored that just a little bit more. I think it could have really added a little bit of a chill factor to it. Something that might have sucked me in and held me a little bit more. I do know, though, because I've come up against this myself, when writing short stories, especially if you're writing them for a competition of some kind, there is often a word count limit. And sometimes it's hard to where you want to go with the story when you only have, 1,000 words left. And you've got 3,000 words that you could put on that page. So I get that.
That's a problem that I've had. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a good little story. I did. It left something missing in me, honestly. But like I said, I think that was because she could not explore the whole paranormal aspect of it as well as as I personally would have liked. And I'm just guessing, again, maybe it's because of the word count limit. But it was a good story, though. I liked it. And
Rani,
I loved the story. They didn't
Rani,
tell
I read
didn't
the story,
tell.
Too. And I agree exactly with what you were saying. Because it must be because this was a short story that a lot, you saw a lot of gaps that could have been filled in. You know, things that were not said, that was left for the reader to fill in. You know, that's the impression I got. But it was a lovely story. It's just that, you know, I don't know whether Nani has the author has the intention of expanding the story eventually in the future. Because this is the kind of story I think should be explored further and deeper into. Because I felt, as I read it, that there were a lot of things that could have been said that were not said.
Right, right. I did like finding out the hidden details of Lola's death, all of the things that Darcy didn't know that she found out when she read the diary, and I won't give any spoilers here, but I liked that came out in the diary as opposed to me as the reader knowing this at the beginning of the book, because it came as a surprise to me, and I liked that. It was kind of fun to have Darcy open this diary and find out all these things that she never knew about her sister and her sister's death. So I really liked that came out in the diary. I enjoyed that part.
Yeah.
Okay. My take, the thing that got me was I didn't know the character very well. I wasn't able to get into her and connect with her. And that's probably because of the short story, too. I think short stories are more challenging than long stories to write.
I agree.
But right, so then I had to go back and read it again, and then I kind of got it a little bit more of that character, of the characters and of the story in general. So that was my take on it.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. I think, you know, Darcy, She was a fairly well-developed character, I thought, considering the fact that she basically held this story herself. But I do think that, you know, there could have been a little bit more depth added to her. But overall, I thought she was fairly well-developed. I liked her. But I know what you're saying, Shirley, and I agree. Sometimes in a short, there's just only so much you can do. And I've read a couple of short stories where I really wish that they could have gone farther or that they did go farther, because these are stories, I don't know if there was a word count limit or if they just didn't write more, I don't know, but I wish that they had written more. So, yeah.
Well, when there's a word count, something you have to really know how to write it in order to satisfy the elements of the story, you know, and the details. And I know I'm learning, so I can't talk about anybody else's until I get my own house in order.
We never stop learning, Shirley. We never stop learning. When I finished reading the story, I instinctively, you know, turned the page on my Twitter. Sorry, on my Kindle. Thinking it continued. This is what happened. I turned it, I said, oh no, this is the end, you know? And I said, okay. You had that urge, you know, to continue reading, to continue going on and finding out more. That is what happened with me.
Okay, ladies, let's get into a break, because we have to pay some bills and highlight a special book. And so I'll reference the author all at the same time. So just a moment.
The Phoenix Project by D.M. Kane, One Man's Fight for His Life and Redemption. Britain has descended into chaos as violence and terrorist attacks seethe across this once peaceful country. Outraged by the steady stream of lawlessness, citizens demand a harsher penal system, and the Phoenix Project is born. In prisons across the country, inmates fight to the death in weekly bloodbaths, while the nation cheers them on. Raven Kennedy, a prisoner who has never forgiven himself for his unspeakable crime, struggles against his own guilt and self-loathing. But even as the real war wages on within him, Raven is forced to battle some of the prison's most ruthless killing machines. Can he survive long enough to unravel the anger and regret that shackle him, and one day find the forgiveness he seeks? One reviewer wrote, "The Phoenix Project by D.M. Kane is a superbly written debut, soaked in tension and intrigue." The Phoenix Project by author D.M. Kane, on Amazon, in Kindle and paperback format. Pick up your copy today.
That sounds like a book.
I read it too. Yeah, it was a very interesting book. I read it too. Yeah.
Yo, the Phoenix,
look at Twitter and see what is happening there.
Okay. Here's something. You are correct, Shirley. Yeah. Short stories can be more challenging to write than novels. A novel lets the author run wild. A short story puts the author on a short leash. But the challenge is the fun part for me. Great job, Bean. That's exactly a good assessment.
Bean, you are a sick puppy, let me tell you. I cannot tell you how many pieces of my hair I was yanking out trying to keep my short stories within the word count.
I just went
through my films with Megamax, and I've thrown over anything in a long time.
Yes, and also, you know, it's not a standard process to format and get these books ready for publishing, because you don't have the standard table of contents, you don't have the chapters, and a format knows how to set up those kinds of books. With a short story, if you don't tell them what to do, they're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's the challenge. That's the whole challenge.
I love
short stories. I'm learning to like writing short stories, but I'll tell you, I think I would prefer writing novels just because I can, you know, get my characters more depth and get into more of what they're doing than I can with a short. I'll tell you, what Beam said, the challenge of staying in those things is the fun part for him. He can have his fun. He's more than welcome to it. I certainly don't want to take any of that. Yeah. I'd rather take my time and wonder.
I love writing short stories. I started my writing career with short stories. So I usually fall back to writing short stories. But then sometimes, you know, one of my books started with a short story. And then I went back and developed it into a full novel. But I like writing. I still write short stories.
I was just checking that. So I guess
that's our subtle little hint, but we need to wind this down. I'd like to thank my co-host, Shirley and Joy, for joining me here today and for being a part of the Raiders Not Haters team. Ladies, this has been so much fun. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Thank you,
listeners, for tuning in to the episode of Raiders Not Haters. There will be no show in August because of the 2019 Writers Conference and Book Expo. We look forward to you joining us for our next show in September. Again, we're your co-hosts, Shirley Harris Slaughter
I'm Joy Mujulubamijoko.
And I'm Ronnie DeShilly, wishing you all a wonderful start to a new week. And remember, when you're in the business of reviewing books, be a rater,
not a hater.
Signing up from Rave Web Blog Talk Radio, where all things literary are our passion. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.